Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling. It's twilight time. When purple colored curtains mark the end of day, I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight time. Deepening shadows gather splendor as day is done. Fingers of night will soon surrender the setting sun. I count the moments, darling, till you're here with me. Together, at last, at twilight time. Here, in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue. In the sweet and same old way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will fill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, at twilight time. In the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue. In the sweet and simple way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, at twilight time. Together, at last, at twilight time.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends, with a glance for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, do you a nature and passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Wednesday, 1 p.m., join us for Keeping It Brief. And then at 10 p.m., turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursday is a split between Inner Craft of Stone Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix for the Phasian Index. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday, split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds. And exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Dan. If you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Monday through, Sunday evenings. Tuesday, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Thursday, join Jeremy as he brings you the headliner's ball. Break on through Friday. And Saturday, join Phasiana and Babble as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the Solace of Shadows. Check out the contests and prompts for all our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And good evening, Jean, this Halloween Eve.
And hello, Rex. How are you tonight?
I'm just fine, thank you very much. What's up?
Oh, not too much, not too much. Just so you know, I picked Pam up as well. Yeah, I think we're going to have a good night tonight. It's going to be fun. I think so.
Yes.
You got a good board. Yes. Good prompts and a good board. Can't beat that. Yes. Hello,
yeah,
Pam.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Rex. Good to hear
Hello.
You both. Hello.
Yeah, good to hear you.
Looks like it. Yeah,
hear
yeah.
You too.
Looks like an awesome lineup.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay, Rex. So let's tell everybody why you picked that song for the intro. Because I know you got a reason.
Okay. Yeah, it comes from 1998. It was the fifth season of The X-Files, and a sentient computer, AI, was looking for the kill switch, which its creator put into the ether world, and he killed his creator. And in the meantime, he was killing off all these other people through the computer. And the set-off on the idea was... The computer got a hold of Mulder and had him in its little home, so to speak, hooked up in virtual reality. And the idea of it, hitting on the note of transferring consciousness onto the web, so to speak. And that song was the opening notes to all of the scenes that you got with the computer itself.
How about it? Well, I knew there was a reason. I knew it. Because I'm like, I know Rex would not put this song up as an intro without having something in the back of his head. So, very cool. Definitely interesting.
Keep a little bit off track, but it kind of fits the moment.
Well, yeah, but see, when you explain it, everybody knows where your head was. Right? I didn't think that you just had one too many and put it up, you know? That's all.
One too many and put it up.
That's right. Well, people probably thought that of me once in a while, but it's okay. I think that it's interesting. Okay. Well, let's see. So, I know we have that was the intro. We got a bunch of pretty cool songs up. And yeah, I'm not sure when you want to start. Where you want to start? You didn't really put one near the top that I can just, you know, touch a Rex one. So we'll work on it any way you want to.
Yeah, we go top down. We're set to go.
Okay. Well, that will work then. Well, in that case, the next audio I'm going to put on is Boris the Spider. Because that's the prompt. And here we go.
Crawling up my wall, black and teddy, very small. Now he's up above my head, hanging by a little thread.
Yeah.
I got it.
Something a little different from The Who. Back to 1966.
Very cool. Very cool. I've never heard that song before, believe it or not.
Yeah, it was the first song John Entwistle wrote for The Who. He was the bassist, and he was out with Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones one night drinking, and they were making up funny names for animals when Entwistle came up with Boris the spider, and it was said that Entwistle wrote it in about 6 minutes later on the next day, and it was and Pete Townsend said that it was one of Jimi Hendrix's favorite Who songs.
Right. Very cool. Very clever. But I haven't. I've never heard of that ever. And when I put it up, I was like, okay. I can find him all this good stuff. You always find interesting stuff for me because it's not something that well.
It's a kind of tongue-in-cheek because he used Spike Milligan back then. He did that basso profundo voice as an homage to Spike Milligan's throat from the Goon Show back in the day.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. Well, I'm going to put the first piece up, and Rex, I'm going to have you read this one. And it's called The Outhouse Spider by A.R. Mundell. So here it comes.
Wrong. The Outhouse Spider by A.R. Mundell. The outhouse door gets softly closed after long, long hike. She starts to squawk to overdo task over long, long drop. She glances up and halfway there, giving long, long stare at creature big and hairy, eight thick legs and long, long snare. Diameter the doorway, legs from end to end, big enough to eat a bird or several and their friends. Business long forgotten, fear was all she knew, shuffling her pants back up to exit that dread loo. She edged towards the doorway, trembling eyes held wide, till she hooked the door with her foot and crashed it to the side. She ran out to the outside, relief in every pore, needing to do her business but refusing to go through the door. And so her father trundled in, expecting a little fluffy thing, only to be seized by how its size was a preserver ring. He stared in horror at the door, frozen in a minute shock, before he broke on out of it and finally took stock. Finding nothing but himself and a toilet lid, he slowly reached down to the ground and off his foot it slid, wondering if the weight of it would be enough to trounce. He saw the spider flattening, legs readying to pounce. Compounding his reaction to whack it with his shoe, spider already airborne at the point he threw, it took the spider with it in its long, long final arc, squashing it so properly it became a slime green mark. And so the shoe was rectified, the daughter could return, and on the long, long trek they went, back to the city for which she yearned. End poem. That's a clever piece. And a true story. all right, ma'am. Bye, Dan.
All right. Well, I have to say, yes, I thought this was a wonderful poem. The great couplets with the back and forth rhyme that she does so well. A wonderful format. Great use of imagery to retell this true story.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I thought I heard Phil saying Pam. Sorry.
Nope.
That's why I stopped to ask.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, but yeah, no, I thought this was great fun. Wonderful way to retell a true story. I liked the couplets with the every other rhyme. I really liked how she used the imagery and had a very direct way of telling the story. It was also really fun to comment on this. I told her that back in my childhood, we had a few years where we had an outhouse. But, you know, thankfully, when you live in a cold area like this, the spiders don't get particularly large. And then, you know, so we laughed, and then she we laughed about the fact that she was so happy. She mentioned that she says, but yeah, my parents' stories from South Africa make me very glad that I was born in England. And she also mentioned that at one time her mom and dad were honeymooning on the Orange River, and her mom almost swam into a massive snake, which she didn't see because she didn't have her glasses on, but her dad managed to warn her mom in time. And all I can say is, thank goodness I don't live in, I'm sure South Africa's beautiful to visit, but I don't think I'd be wanting to run into massive spiders and snakes and outhouses and rivers. But yeah, she did an excellent job with this, right? It was very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I'll tell you, I thought it was a great response to the prompt. You know, the story, it was a great story told, I said, but the fact that it's true makes it look, well, I don't know. I don't think I want to be nearby either, Pam. But I really enjoyed the piece, and I want to thank her for sharing it with us. But hang on a second, because there's something I want to put up in the room. Okay, because I found this a little bit intrigued. I looked at the author's notes, and she said it was a baboon spider, right? So what did I do? I have to go and look up the baboon spider.
Oh, yeah.
And here it comes. It is going to be in the room. I think not. Okay? Looks like a tarantula to me. I would be
It's part of the tarantula family.
That's it. And then I was right. That I'd have been no good. Nope. The big spiders like that belong all the way over there, not right next to me. But it was a great story, and it was definitely, give me a kind of a creepy feeling, that's for sure. But that shoe, I like that shoe very much. So go, Dad, go. Get that shoe.
Well, they get to be as big as 8 inches. So that's a pretty large spider.
Yeah. I would definitely step aside and let it go past. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
And the fact that you see this 8-inch thing crawling towards you while you've got your pants around your ankles is kind of a note that sort of, oh, shit.
Huge sense of vulnerability right there. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to actually do it or cut bait, and cutting bait is a safer alternative.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, listen, before we go on, I'm going to let you know I'm picking up Felon. Hello, Felon. Welcome to the party.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Fel.
That's fire. I'm hands down a bit away from that. No joke. It would go to the ground, for real.
I guess I have to be said. Thank God for loose toilet seat. But then again, it kind of begs you the thought of what goodies were lurking in the pit.
Nope. I'd have a problem.
See, ooh, now you're going to have that on your mind the rest of the night.
I'm not going to the outhouse. So I'm going to put up the next piece. And Felon, since you're with us, I'm going to have you read this one. And it's called Trust Moves by Rose Winston 515.
Okay, this is Rose Winston 515. It's called Chess Moves. Chess Moves force the spider saying who were they, you can ask? It surely could not have been the prime minister whose did indeed be a sticky end. I did it. And yet, he won't come back again. Yet, never, I can't tell in the realm of the politics. Never say never. I think he may well come back stronger than ever, end point.
Great read, Fel. Thank you very much. And Gene, why don't you kick us up a notch. What do you think?
If I hadn't clicked on the comment section of the poem thinking I was unmuting myself, boy, I'm a little turned around tonight. Great poem. I did get a good chuckle out of this one. You know, Horace the Spider sang the who, but who were they thinking? It surely could not have been Horace, Prime Minister, whose premiership did indeed meet a sticky edge. Or did it? A clever take on the piece. Interesting, intriguing, you know. Little chuckle there. Yeah, and enjoyable. So thank you, Rose Winter, for sharing with us tonight. Absolutely.
Thanks, Jean. And Kayon, what about you?
Well, it was a fun brevity with great humor. I really like how she got into, I don't know, how scary politics can be. You know, just all in all, pretty fun. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Belle, you got to read it. How about you?
I this is a very clever write by her, because here's the thing. It's like here, along came a spider. You know, it's already webbed its weave several times or once before, and now it's actually out there weaving another web. So I think this is kind of quite clever, and it's like the who, you know, it's a nice little political thing, but also a little individual of Halloween. But clever, right?
Absolutely, it is a fight at how things work, and the chess moves was a clever note, because it does seem to be walking its way in a particular path, considering they've had three prime ministers now in the last 6 weeks or so, and it keeps going back and forth. Yeah, we're going to do this. No, we're not going to do that. Hey, I'm going to change this once more. So everybody's playing their game, so to speak. And it's the little ones beneath or caught in the web that get pay for the dues being drawn on. So I like it. Nicely done there, Rose. All right, Jean. We're back to you.
This takes us to the next piece, the next prompt, which is called Lullaby. So let me open it up and play it for you. Is that the whole title there, Rex, Lullaby?
Oh, yes, the title for the song as well as the piece itself.
Right. Now I just want to make sure that I wasn't cutting off part of the title. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
All right.
Right. Well, that was wonderful. Just wonderful. And Pam, can I get you to read the piece that goes with that? Which is by Blue Meter One.
Absolutely. All right.
Here we go.
Lullaby by Blue Leader One. I see you in your beauty, haughty, naughty, in your power, invulnerable, immortal, ruling sea, lovely white porcelain skin, eyes of blue, it's just you, sensual lips, hair shines like gold, lovely, lovely, like blood on skin or incision, clean, defined. Red on blonde goes so well, oh hell. Quietly close, softer than shadow. Closer now, quick. Be still, be calm. Struggle, I will only love you more. Anguished cries come in and out, hearing you realize it's you. Now, now. You are comely, certainly, but after I've worked on you, you are beautiful, beautiful. Let me take your hand. I will take it into the soft, warm dark, then into the purest light. Then you'll never look back, where lonely angels carry, where devils are now. Let me see you just for me. Home.
Great read, Ian. Thank you very much. All right, Phil, we've got to start with you. What do you think?
Oh, this is quite good. I mean, this is a very, very dark piece, and I think it really hits a prompt very well, because basically they're saying, you know, they're going to be stalking this person, and they're going to watch them, and they're naughty, naughty, maybe through the window or whatever, and get aroused to this person, but yet at the same time, it's a dark arousal. And then once they take them into, they take them to the wherever they're going to take them and torment them, you know, he don't want them to be all safe and said, he wants them to be a little struggle. He likes a little fight in them. He wants them to fight. Don't be so calm. Don't be so deal, you know, struggle. I would only love you more. Like, you're gonna get me so excited if you just cut me back a little bit more. That will make you so beautiful when I catch you pieces of whatever I do. But I'll bring you the closest to heaven, but I'll take you straight to hell. So excellent, excellent light.
Nice. Thank you, Bill. All right, Jean, how about you for a little lullaby?
Well, you know, I thought there was a lovely darkness in the piece, and I thought the emotions were really, very well expressed throughout. And again, I thought it was a great response to the chosen prompt. Very well done. You know, great piece, Blue Leader. Thank you for sharing, as always.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I really like this. It kind of has a whole, like, modern-day Jack the Ripper vibe. Like, it's a stalker, right? But it goes even deeper than stalking. It's a serial killer, obsessive type personality in it. And I really like, and I have to agree with Phil, that he writes in such a way to make the darkness beautiful. With the language choice and the imagery choice. I like the short, impactful lines, quick, quietly close, softer than shadow, closer now, quick, be still, be calm, struggle. I will only love you more. There's a real sense of a hunter who gets off on the idea of the fight, the struggle. It definitely is deeply dark and beautifully written.
Okay. Thank you, lady. I'm going to go a little different. This is a lonely vampire looking for the purity in that one that can match his own skill. The thought of the struggle. You want that that fight in one you're converting, because it hits on that notion of now, you are comely, certainly. But after I've worked on you, you are beautiful, beautiful. Let me take you by hand. The notion of let us walk into the dark night together, because past where angels tarry, lonely angels tarry, where devils are now, and let me see you just for me. So the idea of wanting that company, that partner in searching for that blood curdling note of pleasure stalk in the shadows. I like it. Nicely done, Blue. Thank you very much. Well, thank you. I could see you.
Okay, dope. Let me, the next one, the next prompt I'm going to play is Werewolves of London. So let me kick that on for us to enjoy. Here we go. Might not be a wise thing to do. But anyway, what do we have here? I have the next piece by Eric Spencer. So let me put that one up. And of course, I have an audio for that. And I am thankful. Okay, here we go.
Viscounts and vixens met a fine fellow called Othello, austere, reserved at first sight. Oh, what a sight indeed! Dressed to the nines, kid gloved, hand extended, Top Hat, Black Penguin Tails Plunge, Lunge Just Above Blood Red Patent Alligator Shoes. Welcome to Viscounts and Vixens, Young Man. Irresistible Rich Honey Vocal Soothe My Frayed Jet Black Nerves. Oh, thank you. Are you the proprietor? Amber Wolf Eyes Lava Lamps. Oh no, dear boy. Just here in Soho for a spill. Not familiar with the late Queen's English, my mind grappled. Ah, you mean Wimbledon, tennis, games, set, match. From the depth of Othello's ample bowels, hearty laughter broiled over. White cliffs of Dover, correct, old chap. Suddenly, I felt like Lily Marlene underneath a lamplight. Kind of stuck away, albeit a fire engine red door with a wolf paw knocker. Viscount and Vixens was recommended to me by a cousin. Try something new, Tim. Soho is just what you need to crack your writer's block. Tit for tat, I thought, as I sank into the plush oxblood sofa Othello offered. By the way, darling Rosemary insisted that I take you under my wing. Wow, you know Cousin Rosemary? Indeed I do. Often babysit her little one. So you the Viscount? Yes, darling boy, and she's the Vixen. Rosehip insisted I take care of her bushwhacked bush baby cousin. My mind raced, paced like a caged leopard. Have a sip of barley. More like three gulps slid down my throat. Now tell me about your Save the Rhino project. My limbs suddenly felt heavy as Viscount Othello's amber wolf eyes vamped up their lava lamp performance. Well, this ridiculous myth proclaims that rhino horn makes men hard, you know. Luxuriant moustache twitched uncontrollably. No, I'm afraid I don't know. Kid gloves praying mantis below the drop handle moustache. Pray do tell. In this day and age, do people still believe in myths? A Daniel Craig look-alike materialized out of nowhere, suave, and may this bushwhack bush baby say sexy for sure. He leaned into the Viscount and whispered something in his left ear. In the dim light of the Tiffany lamp, the Viscount's impeccable sharp teeth glowed pearlescent purity. Kurt nod, and 007 apparition was gone. Right, Tim, we're off to Stonehenge. But a sudden wolf snapped snarl, grunge growl, shut me up.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, why don't we start with you?
Yes, that was a wonderful read. I have to say, this is one of those writes that definitely gives you a wolfish grin. He had such great imagery, humor, wonderful wordplay. I love how he keeps the conversation and the imagery just flowing along.
I especially got a kick out of, wow, you know Cousin Rosemary. Indeed I do. Often babysit her little one. And then the end with the Daniel Craig lookalike materialized out of nowhere, suave, and made this Bush baby face sexy for sure. He leaned into the Viscount and whispered something in his left ear. You know, it just really, the whole thing, it's just a wonderful combination of that eerie darkness and that humor. And I love how he has a snap in the bite at the end. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Sal, how about you?
I like the swankiness that he had going on first when he describes the place that Estella goes to, the dressed to the nines, the black calf, pigeon tails plunge. And then even when he mentions Marilyn, because she's like the singer that was to the jazzy back in the two kind of era. And it just kind of sets that swankiness up and it gives you that vintage feel. But yet at the same time, then it brings a little bit of modern into it with the Gwendolyn and such. And then the count and the vixen. Basically, it's me like the vampires of the night, and then when you bring in Rosemary's baby into the thing, it's like it's got a bunch of little monsters created in this, but yet this guy's trying to sell something to these people. They're like, we don't need that. We don't need to get a man hard of, because the Rhino Project or whatever. But, and there his mind was racing. He's like, are you going to kill me or not, or what's going on? So he just drinks the bubbly, and then he becomes a little bit, everything's so heavy. Maybe there's something in it, or maybe it's just not even bubbly as what he thinks it is. And then he starts seeing things, and seeing the lookalike of what's his name, where we set that up, Daniel Craig. And so then he realizes, oh, crap, it's over. This is going to eat me up. So that's what I got in it.
Nice. Thank you, Phil. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this piece was really well penned, and it was a great tale told, as always. Eric always has a wonderful way with words, and he gets into a story, and he just creates it and builds upon it, embellishes it, wonderful detail and imagery. So, again, an excellent take on the prompt, and I much enjoyed it. So thanks for sharing, Eric.
This kind of, Phil hit on it, the idea of the surroundings, the blood red patent alligator shoes, the ox blood sofa, and the fire engine red door with a wolf paw knocker as the notation, the enter the place. And it reminded me of, there used to be a show, it was called Crime Time After Prime Time. It was a vampire show called Forever Night. And there was a club in there that was called the Raven, home for all the vampires. So you get that very same type of feel. The Viscount and the Vixens rolls along that very same familiar note. But he took from the song itself, dropping in Soho and Dover as little touches to help push his theme along. And that Daniel Craig looked like was a nice touch to finish out the place, as well as that kind of the wolf snaps and all grunts, growl, kind of shutting one up in the moment. Yeah, do what you're told if you want to get out of here alive. Nice, Eric. Thank you very much.
Great job. Okay, well, the next one I'm going to put up is a piece called Werewolves of London Town by Nan529. And I'm going to go ahead and give that one a read. So, Werewolves of London Town by Nan529. Victorian London, if it's late at night, Big Ben chimes. Dark shadows lurk by gaslight. Werewolves creep out of sight. Clouds separate, full moon burning bright. Unable to resist, listen to them howl. Highgate Cemetery, stone angels with stretched out wings watch with unseeing eyes. Werewolves are tearing rotten flesh, gnawing on worn out bones. They lick their lips while their claws shred skin and bones. Raising their noses, their strong sense of smell leaps into the pauper's grave. Laid open, awaiting more bodies, the pungent smell fills the air. leaping into the grave, they start ripping open coffins while they feast on workout for this pack of werewolves skulk around the grave, gathering together, they howl at the full moon. Bellies full, they start to run past headstones, past tombs, for they have escaped straight from hell. Beware of this unholy night, for this is Halloween. End poem.
Ow. All right, Bella, why don't we start with you, please?
I'm believing that they're not eating on live people, that they're just going to go and feast on those that are already dead. Let them have at it. I'll leave them to the best in the kitchen. I think this is very haunting, but at the same time it's very visceral, and the imagery is like spot on. It really brings a nice tone to Halloween. So great job there. And I like the last part, which is cast for change. They escaped. From the way of the Holy Night. Yeah, gradient.
Thank you, Pam. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is great. It's a wonderful Halloween tale for the show. I like how she has that dark and visceral imagery. It was just a wonderful classic werewolf tale with great attention to detail. I like the imagery she brought in with Highgate Cemetery, stone angels with stretched out wings, watch with unseen eyes. And then she not only mentions the movement of the werewolves, like the scurrying and the sound, like the howling, but the idea that their strong sense of smell, raising their noses, their strong sense of smell leads them to the pauper's grave. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was kind of a creepy tale, you know, these werewolves and these graves that were open. Then I went down and I read the AN and I went, oh, wait a minute. She wrote the Prompt 9, which of course was the song. Pauper's grave is usually filled with the poor souls from the workout. The graves could be open for months in the churchyards, the cemetery, and wouldn't be filled in until there was at least 17 or 18 bodies in. Once filled, no marker was put on the grave as they were seen to be worthless and not deserving of a proper burial. Wow. Wow, so there's a bit of truth in there as well, which is, like, even strange. But it was just well put together, and it was a great tale for tonight. I agree with you 100%, Pam. You know, it's that great dark Halloween kind of poetry that, you know, that we look forward to some years. You know, I don't know. I go from one end to the other. You know, I'm either out there with the kids or I'm up here into the darkness, and I think she did a great job. So well done, man, and thank you for sharing with us, as always. Well done.
Oh, absolutely. The idea of pauper's graves were like that, like this, where, you know, since it was paid by the community as a whole, you had to put as many bodies in the grave to save on the sort of single burial. So the idea was, hey, the more you fit in a single spot, then it costs the taxpayers less money. But, boy, it must have lent itself to the stench of rotting flesh just wafting on the air for months and months at a time. Ooh-wee. Yes, and that would bring out all those little tidbits of ants, the ravens, the crows, the coons, and all manner of rats and other little things coming in for, hey, some free tidbits and food. Yum, yum, I'm hungry. So it fits well with all the werewolves. Hey, why not go after that which is readily available? Instead of trying to hunt something down, no, just steal what's sitting on the ground waiting for you. Let's do that, man. All right, Jane, back to you.
Well, I have another poem for the same account, and this one is by Arcana Amore. So let me put on his. I have an audio for it. So awesome song. Here we go.
Thank you. I see them prowling the streets late at night. By the light of a silvery moon, growling and howling with all their might, eating bodies with a plastic spoon. They see me watching, but they just don't care. I think they prefer their prey to run. Or maybe they like me, cause I've got long hair. As I dance through graveyards having fun, I hear them calling in the pale moonlight, and see them lurking in the fog. I even watch them tear and share a bite from an old guy out walking his dog. They like to gamble through the midnight hush. I saw one once play poker with a bear. It ended badly when the bear held a flush, and all the wolf had was a pair. They gate crash parties and drink all the booze. When they're drunk, they eat the host. After feasting, they like to take a snooze and watch the host become a ghost. I think I know now why they leave me alone. I've been watching them with despair. I get excited if someone throws me a bone. I prefer my steak served very rare. So if you see me change before your eyes, you know I warned you to take care. I'll eat you alive without sauce or French fries. Now come and meet me if you dare.
There, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It was greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Holy smokes, wasn't that awesome? I tell you, I don't usually actually listen to SoundCloud like before shows, just because I don't know why, but I just had to listen to this one earlier, because I wanted so badly to hear if he actually did the howling. And I don't know if it was actually him howling or if it was a sound effect he added, but, you know, like, I like the way he put it in such a way that it was like sounded like it was echoing. This was an awesome parody, you know, spot on. I just had to give him a standing ovation. I loved the dark humor of it. I loved how he brought in the whole mention of plastic spoons, where was that, in the beginning, eating bodies with a plastic spoon. I don't know why, but that just cracked me up. And the howling was great. I also really like, they like to gamble through the midnight hush. I saw one once play poker with a bear. It ended badly when the bear held a flush, when all the wolf had was a pair. Yeah, no, great, great humor and awesome SoundCloud.
Thank you, Pam. Gene, how about you? Mutation?
I'm coming. I was very slow. I think that this was great. I loved it. I thought it was cool. I loved the humor that ran throughout, and I loved the warning he offered out to everyone. You know, meet me if you dare. I love the ending, how he says, you know, now come and meet me if you dare. You know, lay it all out there in front of everybody. I'll eat you alive, you know. But then he offered me, you know, come see me if you want. I thought all his answers were great, but I loved that last one. You know, so if you see me change before your eyes, You'll know I warned you to take care. I'll eat you alive without sauce or fries. Now come and meet me if you're there. That was just great. I thought it was a wonderful and humorous way to just tie it up. And, I'll even say tie it up with a bow. Why not? Great job, Ken. Enjoyed it very much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Jean. All right, Phil, how about you?
Oh, this is good. This is some writing right here. It's an amazing parody. I like the fact that he sets off things, watches them from the side, and they don't really mind. It's almost like when you run with the wolf pack, you'll become a part of the wolf pack. You might not have been a part of the wolf pack to begin with, but at the end, they did throw him a bone, and now he's part of them, so you better watch out. He's the best, and I think it's funny how he talks about them boozing it up and taking a snooze and then eating a host and watching Tennessee Ghosts and playing the cards, being regular old guys, tearing up the town, painting red more ways than one. So this is just an excellent theory. Enjoyed it a great deal.
Oh, absolutely. This hits on the note of an outsider, that lone wolf, so to speak, because he talks about everyone, all the other ones, as prowling in packs. That thought with eating bodies with a plastic spoon is a nice touch. Dancing through graveyards, having fun. But there was and that note to playing poker with a bear kind of hits on the notion of gambling with too much of their camaraderie, so to speak. But then he hits on himself. I think I know now why they leave me alone. I've been watching them with despair. I get excited if someone throws me a bone and prefer my stirk, say, served very rare. So if you see me change before your eyes, you'll know I warned you to take care. I'll eat you alive without sauce or French fries. Now come and meet me if you dare. That singular note of, I'm the one. I'm the alpha in the bunch. And they leave me alone because I'll rip them to shreds. Nicely done, Arcana. Thank you.
I think you said you're welcome. And, I'm starting to see a pattern here, Rex, because the next reading we have is for the prompt, Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. There's not a wolf in that, is there? Here we go.
Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these woods. Your woods alone. Oh! What big eyes you have. The kind of eyes that drive wolves mad. So just to see that you don't get chased, I think I ought to walk with you far away. What full lips you have. They're sure to lure someone bad. So until my sheet suit on, till I'm sure that you've been shown that I can be trusted walking with you alone. Oh, Little Red Riding Hood, I'd like to hold you if I could, but you might think I'm a big bad wolf, so I won't. Close by your side, maybe you'll see.
All right, Gene.
I love it. Okay. I've got a Ginger idea here. So let me grab this one. And Rex, I'm going to put this piece up for you to read. And this is called Riding Hood and I by Jay Frederick.
Okie dokie. Riding Hood and I by Jay Frederick. I see her walking down the street, so suave, urbane, so fine. The bloom of youth, a look so sweet, so shapely, so sublime. In her beautiful red cape and hood, with mink collar refined, she looks so whimsical and good, sensible, quirky, and hence benign. She turns into the library, what for I could not see, but thought that she might actually read never occurred to me. So in walked I to just peruse and overmore her wares, but I discerned the look she drew from Lothario's gathered there. She managed to excite the lot, just easing through the shelves, exuding a passionate look so hot they hardly could help themselves. Some sat with eyes fixed luridly and mouths open loom. They look at lustful vacancy could not be misconstrued. So to her rescue first sprang I, for my list left the line. I offered her with a wistful sigh, you have such a lovely mind. Could you and I one summer's eve adjoin in poetry? And every favor should I receive, oh, the difference to me. She swooned, she blushed, she wiped an eye. I took her by the hand as Riding Hood and I stroll by the wolves of library land. And pong. All right, Jean, got a kick out of that one.
I did get a kick out of that one. I thought the story was very unique, and I liked the take on it. I didn't quite catch on, you know, where the wolf was coming in, whether it was going to be him, you know, hiding in his sheep's clothing per se. But I loved how he ended this up. She swooned, she blushed, she wiped an eye. I took her by the hands as Riding Hood and I strolled by the wolves of library land. It was just clever, you know. I mean, basically, he was the hero in the story, you know, getting past all the rules. Yes, yes. I thought his descriptions were wonderful. His imagery was great. And it was clever. It was clever. It was unique. It was different. So I like this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. And Belle, how about you?
I don't know if he's the wolf as well, but if he is the wolf indeed, another wolf, then he basically, when he says that he made a library out of me, or something like that, basically, he invoked poetry. He wrote new things within who he is. Instead of being devouring her and just, you know, eating, he was seen by her, was become smitten, and became something that was putting on a skewer. So I love this. This is a really great finishing and kind of a surprise. I like this twist.
Excellent. Thank you, Bill. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really liked this one. It had great rhyme and flow. I like that it was about wolves of a different kind. You know, the idea of bringing in of walking in front of those type of men that do cat calls. I really liked the use of the word Lotharios. I thought that was pretty cool, a unique word for men who are not well behaved. Those were great lines. So, and I walked I to just peruse and ogle more her wares, but I discerned the look she drew from Lothario's gathered there. I like that, as Phil says, he becomes the hero of the story. He first starts out being like every other man, checking little red curves out, and, you know, and then realizes at the end that he can, you know, catch her better with some poetry and politeness. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, ladies. I do get that note that he's definitely the more advanced wolf, so to speak, the thoughts of so shapely, so sublime. And then she looks whimsical and good, fanciful, quirky, and hence benign. A note to this should be easy pickings on the prey side. And then that sort of she turns to the librarian. And again, just went in to check out to leave more of her wares. So he is the one on the prowl, yet it's the little wolfette in a library that get him to make that first move and offer up a more structured note of articulancy, which she grabbed onto, and hence the original wolf gets the prey anyway. So there's a double thought for that play, as well as the being the hero, but still the wolf in disguise. Nicely done there, Jay. Thank you very much. All right, James.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to put the next piece up and ask you to read it. And this is called Red Riding Hood, the sequel by Dammit Dave.
Did you say me too?
Actually, I said Pam.
Oh, okay.
I'm never sure she did. Thank you.
I couldn't quite catch the name. All right. This is Red Riding Hood, the sequel by Dammit Dave. And it goes like this. She walks along the forest path, a basket in one hand. The wolves would dare not face her wrath as she would make a stand. Beneath her crimson riding hood, she wears a 44. The wolves all know her aim is good and shun the forest floor. She's learned a lot since Grandma's house. That wolf caused lots of pain. By dressing in her granny's blouse, she won't get fooled again. She's practiced at the shooting range. Now she's an expert shot. She's vowed these woods are going to change. No wolves are going to plot. The death of any kith or kin, as long as she's around, she'll blow their heads off with a grin and put them in the ground. She thinks of all the wolves she slew, all now among the dead, and now the wolves will only screw with Goldilocks instead.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Hey, Reds from the Hood, come on out, Belle.
Let me tell you what, Goldilocks has got something for him, too. Bring it on. I might not have a 40 cal, but I have a man. I'm a doggone good angel as well. So, but I like this. I like the fact that she become packed. You know, she's packing and she's ready. She's locked and loaded, and she's like, yeah. They all know. No, don't mess with that chick. She's got red hair. She's crazy. That's a cray cray right there. Don't mess with her. She's coming ready. You know. I like this. No longer does she fear going into the forest, because when she's going to see Granny, that kind of taught her a lesson. No more, no more. So I like this. I like that, Dammit Dave. I like how you put that little story together. Great, great job.
Yeah, this was a howl. Reminds me of that that long-running series we had with, I can't remember his name right now, Gene. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. The Gonzo. We are all Gonzo.
Yes. Yes.
That was the one. Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, I was kind of over here at the comment. But, yeah, it does. It reminds you of that a little bit. Yep. Because it's the fairy tale gone modern times. And yeah, wonderful job. I love this by Dave. You know, each stanza was wonderful. I mean, he really is clever, and he's very, very talented. And, of course, he rhymes like crazy. I mean, I was looking at this. I was going to pull a stanza. I haven't done much of that tonight, but God, I can't even take them apart, because it's like, no, you got to keep going, Gene. I'm like, no, I can't just sit here and reread the whole poem. I mean, I could, but it might be a little, unnerving to everybody. But I think that, where is it? This one here. She's learned a lot since grandma's house. That wolf caused lots of pain. Gosh, let me make it big enough I can read it. By dressing in her granny's blouse, she won't be fooled again. She's practiced at the shooting range. Now she's an expert shot. She's vowed these woods are going to change. No wolves are going to fly. I think that it really, it was clever. It was clever. And I liked it very much. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely has that gone through. So that's funny that you should say that, because I was like, huh, this is all right. And that is exactly what it is. But excellent job, David. Thanks for sharing, as always. I loved it.
All right. Thank you, team. And Pam, all about you.
This was great. I really enjoy a good sequel to a classic tale. And this one was fabulous. As always, he's got great rhyme. I love the imagery to this, the humor, the storytelling. I mean, it really is difficult to separate one stanza from the next because the whole story just flows nicely. I love how he brings us the character of Red Riding Hood, who has learned her lesson and is ready to take aim at Wolfish Bites. And of course, that ending just cracked me up. I really also liked she's practiced at the shooting range. Now she's an expert shot. She's vowed these woods are going to change. No wolves are going to plot. So excellent lines and very well done.
Great comments, ladies. And yes, Dave did took the right path with this one as a little bit of revenge mode and dressing up Red as the new queen of the jungle, so to speak, or the woods, or that role of, hey, I'm taking it to heart, and no more will you reign through these woods. And I like that note with the 44. That's a big old hole boring through that wolf. Say bye-bye. And I like the angle on the end, the bit of humor and dropping it. Hey, you might want to take on Goldilocks and have a little bit more luck on there. Nicely done, Dave. Thank you. And we're coming back to you, Gene.
Okay, so the next one I have is Witchy Woman. That's our prompt for the next poem. So let me put that on and play it for us.
Raven Hill. mother, she's been sleeping in the tail of bed. And there's some rumors going round, someone's on the ground. She can rock you in the night until your skin turns red.
Piece they got for this ought to be nicely well-rounded and a bit fun.
Yep. Okay. Well, and in following that prompt, I have an audio here by Betty Page, and her poem is on the board. It's called Wicked Woman by Betty Page. So here we go.
Wicked Woman. Auburn hair and cherry lips, sparks fly from her chains and whips. Eerie whispers in the night, she's a vicious spirit with her twisted bite. Ooh, wicked woman, watch how high she flies. Ooh, wicked woman, she's got your doom in her eyes. She'll hold you spellbound through each night. Ooh, dance seductive meets blue moonlight. Insane torture in her velvet rooms. Ooh, as she drives her prey to madness with her seductive tools. Ooh, wicked woman, watch how high she flies. Ooh, wicked woman, she's got doom in her eyes. Ah, 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 ooh, tell you something, she's been screwing in the devil's den. So there's some rumors going round, pins you to the ground. She'll just rock you with them sweet wine till your neck drips red. Ooh, wicked woman, watch how high she flies. Ooh, wicked woman, she's got your doom in her eyes. End poem.
Excellent, Betty. Thank you very much for Sound Clap. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Jean, you get to kick first.
I got to kick first because I asked Betty for this audio because otherwise Pam was going to sing it. That was it. It was Pam's turn. I think she wrote it for Pam, actually. I think she wrote it all about Pam. But we won't get into those gory details. I thought Betty did an excellent job with this. Great parody, great song. You know, she really put this one together for us, and I enjoyed it. I thought she did a wonderful job. And, yeah, the parody was, like, really, really well done. Actually, I could have had you read it, or sing it, I mean. I don't know. It might have worked. Might have worked if we had had you sing it. We'll have to check it out next time. Pam, help me on that, will you? Anyway, love you, Betty, and thanks for sharing.
I absolutely could have sang you.
Yeah, you know. I was kind of afraid she may have taken a turn somewhere, and then we'd have been in trouble, you know. And Rex would have been in, like, pink fluffy slippers and stuff, and a boa or something somewhere.
like those high heels, those stiletto heels that have the fur on the strap. We would have had Rex wearing those.
That was what I was afraid of, so I didn't do it. But Betty, I really did. I really loved it, and a great job. And thanks for sharing. And thanks for the audio. I appreciate that.
All right, Belle, how about you?
I was going to sing, but I was going to say, Wicked Wright, that's amazing. I really like what she wrote, and that for her to sing this through that to me is just amazing. I love it. I think this really added to it. There's no way it's all female. It just gave me a bit of a personality at the same time, but add a little bit of naughtiness, and I like the job.
Thank you, Phil. And Pam.
Oh, this was great. It's a spot-on parody. I love Betty's singing. I'm so glad she did a recording. In fact, when I read this earlier and I commented on it, I did make sure because I remembered Jean telling me, because I skipped last week when it was supposed to be my turn to read Betty, that she was going to make me read Betty this week. So when I commented on Betty's poem, I made sure to say, I hope you plan on making a recording of this. And I'm so glad she did, because she did such a wonderful job with it. Great parody, wonderful lines throughout. I do like how she opens up with auburn hair and cherry lips, sparks fly from her chains and whips. And then the mention of the, she'll just rock you with vamp sweet wine till your neck drips red. Wonderful, the vampire tale of just such a delicious wickedness. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. This was a well-done parody. I could have sang it, I guess. But it doesn't hold the same thought as with Betty doing it. So nicely done, Betty. And thank you very much for the SoundCloud. Grand to have you, because you got really, really good at breaking down the parodies and putting your own twist in them. So nice to hear your voice with it. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okay, this brings me to our next prompt, which is Feed My Frankenstein. Read My Frankenstein, Read My Frankenstein by Alice Cooper. So let me start that off.
Hey, wait a minute. What are we doing? Yeah, we got backstage passes for Alice Cooper.
Just
Nice. We got a few pieces for this one, so that's cool.
Yes, we do. Okay. Well, the first piece I'm going to put up is by Felon. It's called Feeding the Beast. So, Felon, whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. This is by Felon, and it's called Feeding the Beast. Get this. Yes, I'm cleverly cunning. Ha, ha, ha. Making me a sinner, feed my beast of a mind. Hell, it's a damn lethal think that I'm lethal. Think I was from Brooklyn. It's hard to inspire. Stop your pushing. I've got a cunning plan. Don't call me a diva. Hold now from your mouth as I teach you. Fling you like a dimmer. Sorry. Let me get this bigger. Fight my mind. Gun you easy thinkers. Corrupt with free and rhyme. Feed my beast of a mind. Next to me, you're a placebo. Yes, I'm a torpedo. Feeding my mind. Feeding the beast of my mind. Cunning to death. And that's the feeding of my mind. Here's your chalk about your rut. You think that it's a crime? Sure, you're not that tough. Hell no, I'm not landing a quickly defeat. Taking your tooth with my left knee. Hell yes, I'm pledging to unleash like a cyclone. Dying as I'm kicking your lies into dreams that are gone. Feed my beast of a mind. Next to you, I'm a placebo. Yes, I'm a torpedo. Feed my beast of a mind. Cunning to death. That's what's feeding my mind. Hating, I'm so cold. I don't care. Feed my beast of a mind. So damn cold. You're on the ground. Feed my beast of a mind. It's placebo. Feed my beast of a mind. Fire at my torpedo. Sink that placebo. I'm cunning to death. It's crunch time. I'm just a freak who's feeding a beast of a mind. End one.
Great refill. Thank you very much. All right, ma'am.
Oh, this was awesome. I love this take on the prompt, the whole idea of that sharp-edged, twisted mind. I really like how you took this approach of almost like a rap battle. I thought it had hard-hitting and edgy lines. I like that it was like in your face. I like how it had this attitude and intelligence to it and this sense of confidence. I really felt like all of that really shined through this verbal like bloodbath that you've created. I really like feed my beast of a mind next to me, placebo. Yes, I'm a torpedo. Cunning to duh, and that's feeding my mind. Hear you chalk, I'm about to erupt when you think it's crime. Sure, you're not tough. It's kind of like that saying, I never have a battle of wits with an unarmed person. And you're telling somebody that it, compared to you, they are very unarmed. So great take on the prompt and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And this is one of the long slides it took me to do because trying to get it to parody it with the song, I've got to pull my hair out.
I get that. Parodies are tough for me.
And Jean, how about you?
Ellen, I like how you led into this piece. You know, it was clever. It was direct. And I like that about it. It was kind of like you're telling it line after line after line all the way through. But get this. Yes, I'm cleverly cunning. Ha ha, making me a sinner. Feed my beast of a mind. Hell, it's so damn lethal. I think I was from Brooklyn. I'm trying to inspire. Stop your pushing. I've got a cunning plan. Don't call me a diva. Hold now from your mouth. I've got to teach you. Just really, I don't know. I really liked the way you did it. And it was a clever take on the prompt, I thought. You know, a great response to your chosen prompt. And I thought it was well done. So thanks for sharing with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm glad you went the longer route because this does feed on that notion of you got the Brooklyn, born in Brooklyn here. It does hit on that idea of the street fighting attitude, and it does kind of hit on also the notes of you want to call me a diva, yes, you're coming to a gunfight with a knife, and you're not going very far with that knife. So it's that the idea of spitting bullets, so to speak, like the thought of, what was it, cunning to duh, and that's feeding my mind. Here's your chalk. I'm a bachelor up when you think it's a crime. Sure, you're not tough. Hell no. I'm landing a quickly defeat, taking a tooth with the left knee. Hell yes, I'm fetching to unleash like a cyclone, dying as I'm kicking your life to dream gone. Feed my beast or mine, next to me, a placebo. So the idea of getting in the quick verbal lick before anybody else can open their mouths and ending up with the idea that their tongue is left twisted in the moment because they got nothing to come back with.
That's right.
Nothing like shredding a person without actually touching them.
Well, thank you.
I see that, Bell. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, okay. We're back to you.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Rex, I'm going to put the next one up for you to read, and this is by Pee Wee. So Pee Wee.
Okie dokie. Ah, all right. Psilocybin in my mind by Pee Wee Kusan. Psilocybin in my mind. I said psilocybin in my mind. I'm crawling around on Halloween, searching the ground on hands and knees. Candy's nice, but tricks are really a treat. Looking for the fungus among us to eat. Need some psilocybin in my mind. Hungry for shrooms, and it's dosing time. My neural pathways are starting to decay. Can't see anything in spite of the light of day. Need real vision as I lack some clarity, and I just can't get a hold of any regular LSD. Down dark alleys, they get you with crack. If you're rich, they're gonna push smack. But for all I've been and what I've seen, only two drugs that'll work for Halloween. LSD fries, and it brings you to life, watching traces of spaceships fly around the night. Quality's absurd, and it's always preferred, but if CID is a folly, you can rock with Molly. Or psilocybin in my mind, want a trip, and it's all I can get at this time. Psilocybin in my mind, hungry for fungus, now it's dosing time. And Paul. All right, Val, let's start with you.
Well, I must admit, Pee Wee was saying something about this the other day, and I had, it was a blonde moment, because I had no idea what he was talking about. I was like, what, he's talking in code, what is this? And then he explained to me, I was like, oh, okay, well, I know what to take into that. But then I started thinking back, yeah, I did. I had mushrooms one time. Somebody gave them to me by accident. I think for 5 hours, I was on the back of my couch, perched like a parakeet, talking to people. That wasn't a very good trip for me. So I was like, I do remember that. So, but this is a cleverly written, I think it's got a dark right to it, but it's also got, this is a trick or treat, or this is a treat for the adults that can handle their own. So this is a great write.
Excellent. Thank you, pal. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is definitely an awesome write on the hunt for the shrooms. I really got a big kick out of this. I really liked his wordplay, like how he first spelled out the separate word, psilocybin, in my mind. I really also like candy's nice, but tricks are really a treat, looking for the fungus among us to eat. Then down dark alleys, they get you with crack. If you're rich, they're going to push smack. I like how he does all these comparisons and says, you know what's really for me? I want a little bit of this, these shrooms that I need to crawl around on the forest floor and look for. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think that Pee Wee did a great job with this, and I thought this poem was a real trip. Clever and well-written, great take on the prompt for sure. Great job, Pee Wee, and thanks for sharing. Definitely good. Nobody even laughed at my joke. See how y'all are? I heard you kind of chuckle
It was done right. Yeah. The play on psilocybin itself with psilocybin in my mind, and then psilocybin in my mind, and then dropping into psilocybin, been in my mind, hungry for shrooms. It's dosing time. A nice touch of that, but he also has that the thought of, what was it? But all I've been and what I've seen only two drugs that'll work for Halloween, LSD fries, and then brings you to life watching Trace's spaceships fly around the night. I love great lines there. Quality is absurd, and it's always preferred, but if Sid is a folly, you can rock with Molly. Nice touch of playing with the voice and the notion of what one gets from each and every little tidbit that you want to play with. And you know what? Halloween is a wonderful night with some LSD. Hell yeah. Nicely done, Pee-wee. Thank you. All right. We're back to see you.
Yeah.
All right.
So the next one that I am going to put up is a piece called The Lick the Battery Blues by Pam Ray. Here we go. And Pam, whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. The Lick the Battery Blues. Frankenstein, he came to life, charged to full capacity, energetic and electric. He's singing the Lick the Battery Blues because he's craving the cold, dead touch of a bride by his side who'll ride him like a Ferris wheel, round and around till he's dizzy with that love tainted in the spell of her fatal scratch. He's stumbling and mumbling, swaying to the mambo under the moon. Stiff as a board, he's looking to score and shock the rocket in the sockets. He's wailing Wonderland on that electric guitar, amped up, pumped to jump for the juicy jam of joy. He's got a song in the chords of his secondhand heart. Dr. Feel Good, make me feel so damn good. Give me the love that's a drug. Make my soul together flesh crawl like the creepers in the rug. Oh, Lao, don't you know I got to lick the battery blues? I need me a woman who stands tall and proud, hair ratted high with the hold of Aquanet. Put the junk in her trunk and the spunk in her step. Tattoo Estrape and Bronte on the sweet swell of her breast so I can clash the titans in the eye of the storm. Frankenstein is sitting on the edge of the bed waiting for the morning glory to fall into the grass. He's got his practitioner on the phone because he's tired of practicing the moan of the trombone alone. He says, doctor, doctor, give me the news. I've got a bad case of loving her. She's a bewitching woman, stitched and stapled. She's a double-jointed, greasy diner drama queen, tough as gristle, sweet as maple, and without her stripper pulling the bone, I got to lick the battery blues. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Boy, does that kind of rock the notion of young Frankenstein with the monster and Madeline Kahn in the basement going at it. All right, Gene, have at it.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting here and I'm just going, here she goes again. Here she goes again. Excellent, right, Pam? Absolutely excellent. I read the title and I knew we were in for something good. You know, the liquid battery blues. I don't know where you come up with this stuff. Have you been hanging with Pee-wee? Is it a solo side bin thing?
You need a share. Yeah.
I have to ask Pee-wee. I want to know. I mean, honest to God. It's just you come up with the most unique thoughts. And it's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. The title alone on this was like, really? Really? Okay. It just got better and better and better and better. It was great. Just really a great piece, Ben. Where is it?
Oh,
here?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Dr. Make me feel so damn good. Give me the love that's a drug. Make my sewed together flesh crawl like the creepers in the rug. Oh, Lord, don't you know I got to lick the battery blues. Oh, my God. This is just wonderful. Great, great, great addition for tonight's show. Please. Uh-huh. It's Pee-wee's fault. I know it.
Thank you. And Belle, how about you?
Well, I'm going to play matchmaking for you, Frankenstein. I got a half-ton Dodge truck with a nice
If we're foreplay, he can come on the jumper cable and get down with it. So he wants to wake up and charge his batteries up. They'll be lit like crazy. So if he wants to go, I've got the tailpipe is ready to roll. But this is just, I'm on the field. This is like, where did she come up with this? Like, where did she come up with it? It is so genius and just, it really sets the tone, but it's a big adult read and it's something enjoyable and it gives you, I mean, I was sitting here laughing and smiling the whole time. That's what a good writer does is it keeps you engaged, and this is definitely engaging. Poor little Frankenstein. I feel sorry for him. That stuff ain't being hard, and it's already made me feel. Never. Right.
Thank you, Felon. Oh, and just so you know, Jean, I got the Aquanet part from our conversation that we had the other day. When we were talking about how we used Aquanet to keep our hair in place.
Nothing moved. The whole thing is right where we put it. Oh, my God. That's just so.
You never know where I'm going to get inspiration from. So be careful what you tell me. No.
Oh, my God. I didn't tell her anything. I had nothing to do with the rest of this.
Definitely a run-through of of the scenes with the monster and Madeline Karn. And then she's, you're leaving me. No. That's it, you guys. You always go after 5 or 6 quickies. Oh, I think I love him.
Yeah. Thank you for the comment, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
Although that juicy jam of joy is probably kind of a little on the rotten end of things.
It's from the joke, I jumped for joy, but joy jumped first.
yeah. Sweet smell of success. Yeah, back to you, Gene.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't think I can take too much more of this. I mean, that was too funny. Really, here we go. Absolutely. Rex, I have to come back to you for the next read. So whenever you are, Rex, this is called Halloween Mayhem by Lawrence 67.
All right. Halloween Mayhem by Lawrence 67. Little tweaky.
Okay, class. Now settle down. It's time for arithmetic. Now let's say, for example, that little Squeaky had 4 apples and Pedro took 2 apples away. What would Pedro have?
Pedro would have a black eye, teacher.
Shit, take my apples away? You must be tripping.
Huh?
He's probably the one who stole my bike, aren't you? Give me back my bike, punk, before I kick your ass. Okay? Shit, take my apples. Give me your lunch money. Hurry up. For Halloween, I don't mean to be mean. But you just don't take away Tweaky's apples. Jeez.
And boom.
Oh, my God.
Bam. You get the kick.
All right. Well, as always, Rex, you did an awesome read with Lawrence's Right. I just really enjoy and appreciate his sense of humor, his ability to use the back and forth conversation between the dogs. What I particularly like about this one is it pokes fun at those word problems, those math word problems that you used to always get in like grade school and junior high that never, ever made sense. I thought that was so awesome because it's the idea of bringing one of those into the reality of the situation. Like, what do you mean he stole my apples? He better give me my apples back. So awesome, right? Very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan. And Sal, how about you?
I don't think it's right to get all in trouble like that because he's just sitting there minding his own business. Now he's getting sold a bike, he's stealing his apples and getting his money took from him. You know, me and Lil Tweaky be going out back and talking about some apples and giving him some oranges out of the deal. So this is clever. it is just, I mean, what is the problem with this? I mean, I'm just, this is so funny. I can just see it like, this is my apple.
Thank you, Bill. And how about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was a funny piece. Well done, Brevity. And nicely written. I have to say, poor, poor Pedro. What a shame. Poor dude's minor film business. Got drug all into the mix of it all. Ended up outside, you know, in the parking lot after, you know, there's a certain time probably when it all happened. I can see, you know, I can see what's the name of the first guy's name. Tweety looking at him, pointing his fingers at his eyes and pointing them back at Pedro going, yeah, I'm watching you. I can see it happening. Mm-hmm. So well done. Well
yep.
done, Lawrence.
Right. A playground foible brought into the classroom by the teacher by mistake.
Absolutely.
And working at self like that. All right. Good. Back to you.
Well, we have two choices. Either we can talk about the next show and tomorrow, and that you're going to take over all the carryovers, or we can do that last poem.
We
you
do
know,
that
want to carry it to tomorrow. Okay, here
it's
we go.
It's a shorty.
I'll put up one more poem. Huh? I didn't hear you.
It's a shorty.
It is. Okay, well, the next poem I'm going to put up is called Sweet Transvestite. So here we go. Everybody hold your hands.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite. I'm transsexual, Transylvania. Let me show you around and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just stay where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a freak. Transvestite. From transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Right.
Or maybe a bite?
Right.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame.
so I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Ow!
Now that's an ending to a show, right?
Absolutely.
Right, so I'm going to put this one up. I'm going to put this one up for you as well. So here we go.
Okie dokie.
Sweetly, by Poetry Cures My Soul.
Sweetly endowed by Poetry Cures My Soul. Rose is a bonny girl who likes to sing. For sexual dates was a sure thing. She liked men a lot. That is, if they're hot, especially endowed with a ding-a-ling. End of limerick. All right, Pam. You got first, Nick.
Great read there, Rex. I have to tell you, this was just a spot-on limerick. And who doesn't just love a surprise package, you know? Awesome right, and very well done.
That's nice. So how about you?
Kind of makes you want to sing it, you know, Rose is a bonny girl who likes to sing for sexual dates, you know, that sure thing. She like come in a lot. That is a little ding-a-ling. I love it. I mean, it's short and sweet, but at the same time, very endowed. I love it.
And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I have to say, I thought it was a great take on the prompt, and I thought it was very well done. You know, a great limerick and you know, short and sweet. I mean, just enough. And it leaves you right at the end. But, you know, it leaves you hanging, you know? Put it that way. Nice job.
Oh, absolutely. A fitting end to the show with the song because he took Tim Curry's character right there as a picture motif and actually lit on that with a fun bit of a limerick proving the movie itself. Yeah. Nice poetry. Thank you very much. And
absolutely.
We're on the back end of things. So let's see what we got coming up.
Well, at 12:30, we have the Hearts of Valentine with Victoria Frost. And that'll be a Halloween show, of course. And it's the Haunted Library. Got something a little special lined up for everyone. So if you're free, you can give it a call. I'm sure she'll be happy to hear from you. And tomorrow is the big finale, the Circus of the Dams with Robert M. And he's got a great lineup of poetry, and I'm looking forward to that one. Followed by After Midnight with Rex and Pam. And Rex and Pam are going to, they're going to clean up behind the elephants at the circus. No, I'm only kidding. You know, maybe pick up the loose ends and tie up all of our carryovers from all the shows. And I appreciate that very much because, you know, it gets rough because you don't want to carry a whole week of Halloween, so we don't want to carry it out into the next week because that's just not fair to everybody. But what wonderful shows we've had in the past and what wonderful ones we have left to listen to. So with that, you know, great show, Rex, great prompts, a lot of fun, good poetry. Felon, it's good having you join us tonight. And hope you enjoyed it as well. I'm done, Rex. Whatever you got to say. Sorry.
Yeah, had a blast.
Yeah, it was good. Okay, well, whatever you're ready, you just tell me and we'll call it in.
Join us next week because we're going to be digging back into the surreality of the lyrics, and we're going with Come Together this time because it's either a metaphorical, it comes across as surreal, or it's a nuanced play on voice and imagery. So dig in, take what you think out of it, a line, a stanza, or mix and match and have some fun.
Absolutely. Right. Sounds like a good week. Looking forward to it. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful night. Bet your Pam's gone already. Yes, she is. And so is Felon. Oof. You know, Pam, they're out of here. They didn't know that the last person off the line tonight was going to get $1 million, and guess what? It ain't them. I don't have any tough reps in it. Oh, my God. Okay, well, look, excellent show. Great prompts tonight. Really enjoyed the show. And, yep, we got through everything but yours, and I think that you can put yours on for tomorrow night as carryover.
Well, that was just fodder, just in case. But actually, everything worked out perfectly.
I would have put yours up at the end and then realized it was maybe just a little too long.
Yeah.
And you know the girls.
No, we're good. This worked just fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it was a great show. And, yeah, put yours up once more next for the carryover show. I like it. Okay?
Yeah, what's up?
Okay. Thanks for everything, Rex. You did a great job, great show, great prompts. It was a lot of fun. And it was a pleasure. So I will talk to you very soon. Stay out of trouble.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Good night.
Me too. Okay, good night.